That's a great song. And, you know, you think about moms, my goodness, there's such power of influence there, isn't there? Sometimes it's just a look, a little raise of the eyebrows, right? Sometimes a little dip of the chin. You know what she's saying. She doesn't even have to open her mouth. But, you know, there's some great men, great women in this world that you probably have not thought of in this light before. And I want to share a couple of interesting stories. I mean, how many know that Paul Revere had a mother? I mean, you know, but you don't ever think about Paul Revere's mom. Or what about Mary Quite Contrary's mom? I don't know. Humpty Dumpty's mom? How about Michelangelo's? Well, here's some of the things that their mothers might have said to them. You can turn those photos off. We're done with the offering now. So you can turn those photos off. But here's Paul Revere's mom. I don't care where you think you have to go, young man. Midnight is past your curfew. How about Mary Quite Contrary? This is her mom. She says, I don't mind you having a garden, Mary, but does it have to grow under your bed? About Mona Lisa's mom. Yeah, Mona Lisa had a mother, you know. Here's what she might have said. After all the money your father and I have spent on your braces, Mona, that's the biggest smile that you can give? Humpty Dumpty's mom. Humpty, if I told you once, I've told you 100 times not to sit on that wall, but no, you wouldn't listen. Columbus's mom. I don't care what you've discovered, Christopher. You still could have written me. And why didn't you call? Babe Ruth, a great baseball player, major league, you know, big home run hitter. Babe, how many times have I told you, quit playing ball in the house? That's the third broken window this week. Michelangelo's mother, I like this one. Mike, you can't paint on walls like other children. Do you have any idea how hard it is to get that stuff up off the ceiling in this living room? Napoleon's mom. All right, Napoleon, if you aren't hiding your report card inside your jacket, then take your hand out of there and let me see. Well, I don't know if you can handle any more, but I'll give you one more. Abraham Lincoln's mom. Again, with that stovepipe hat, Abe, can't you just wear a baseball cap like every other child? Anyway, that's possibly some of the things moms might have said to some of those favorite people and famous people in our lives. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 16 this morning, verse 13. I don't know what your mom used to say, but my mom had all kinds of sayings. You made your bed, now sleep in it. Famous four words I've always heard out of her mouth, I told you so. Well, I'm sure you have them as well. Romans chapter 16. And in this particular chapter, you're going to see that there are 26 people mentioned by the Apostle Paul. Isn't that incredible? 26 people. Out of those 26 people that Paul mentions by name, there are 6 who are women. And that's significant to me because it reveals the tremendous impact that women had in the early church ministry. Otherwise, no women would have been mentioned at all. Especially in that time, the culture of which the Bible was written, that we see mirrored today even in the Middle East. How women are to dress and how they walk behind their husbands and how they're not significant. But here, Paul the Apostle, during this time of writing, says there were 6 women that had great influence in the church and in my life. Notice verse 13, he says this. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Now, I don't know what Rufus's mother must have done to get Apostle Paul to relate to her as his own mother. Whether his mother was alive or not, I have no idea. But notice in the text, he refers to his friend's mother as his own. Some bond, some relationship must have occurred there in that scripture in order for the Apostle Paul to refer to her as his own mother, maybe nursing him back to health, maybe taking him in after one of his long missionary journeys, maybe encouraging him. Yes, you are an apostle of God. Yes, you are anointed. You go out there and preach to those Jews. I'm not sure what the relationship was, but it must have been very special. And when and where did Paul meet Rufus's mother? And where did he get to know Rufus? Mark, in his gospel, writes this of Simon of Cyrene. You remember the man who carried the cross of Jesus Christ? Do you remember that story? Well, Mark writes that Simon had two sons, Alexander and Rufus. And if this is possible, the same Rufus, which many theologians think, this woman that he refers to as his own mother is Simon Cyrene's wife. Now think about this family, just for a minute with me, because now we have Rufus and Alexander, two pillars that Paul the great apostle mentions in his greetings in Romans 16. That no doubt Rufus was a man that stood by the apostle under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and was significant in the local church ministry, so much so that Paul said, "Don't forget my buddy, don't forget my friend." But also, we now see that his father, Simon, the one that carried the cross of Christ, is the woman, husband of the woman mentioned here as Paul's adopted mother. So we have a woman who had great influence to raise up a mighty son named Rufus and Alexander, and also to influence a husband that he might carry the same cross of Jesus Christ. Her name goes on mention. Like many of the women in this room this morning, your names go on mention. We may not know you in this society or generation, but you have great power of influence, raising up Michelangelos and raising up Columbuses to discover uncharted territories, raising up Billy Grahams, raising up those that would have great influence in the kingdom of God. And that's why we say today, on this day, Happy Mother's Day, because we know that there are some powerful women in this room who are causing great influences in the lives of their family and their children that will change a generation. I believe that with all my heart. Guys, that's a good place to give the ladies, come on, a hand clap. Amen? There's something about a woman who's has great influence. You know, she has this tenacity about her. You know, tenacity is defined this way, of having great cohesiveness of parts. Tough, cohesive, or adhesive. Tending to hold strongly as to opinions, rights, stubborn, and obstinate. Anybody have a mom like that? You know, when it comes to the right things, moms know how to be tenacious. No, you're not going out. You're going to do your homework. No, you're not going to hang out with them. You're going to stay home. I don't care how long you cry and pout and shout, you're not going. You know, those kinds of moms that know how to plant their feet. I like what William Ford III said last week from this pulpit. He said the only difference between a bulldog and a mom is that the mother wears lipstick. I thought that was awesome. How many know that kind of a mother? The bulldog mentality that said, we're going to win, we're going to make it, we're going to push through. Unfortunately, though, there are some women in the Bible that were not very good mothers. Jezebel, Herodias, who asked for the head of John the Baptist, who steered her daughter into this torturous experience and humiliation of the prophet of God. But I'd say for the most part, moms in this room today are awesome and have great influence and have done tremendous things in the lives of their children. And I just want you to know that perhaps in the moment, in the thick of it, you don't really realize what you're doing. You don't know the impact eternally that you may have. You don't know the consciousness that you are developing in the lives of your little child, that someday they'll make that decision. And like we saw that person on the screen depicted at age 45, I wish mom was here, or maybe what she would have done, because your influence will last a lifetime. Tenacity, strong opinions. I've seen that in my own wife and how she has stood her ground. I remember when our children were growing up and they're getting to that 14 years of age where they thought mom didn't know much. Or maybe the 17, 18 years, I forget what it was, that she was clueless. Maybe we've all been there. Remember the first time my children really tried to talk back to her and argue with her. And my wife said, no, I don't think so. And she used to take her finger and flick their lip. You remember that, girls? I mean, just a little flick on the lip, just a little sting on the lip. No, don't even try it. And it's interesting, it's such great influence. I've seen them do that with their own children. I thought, I know where that came from. Let me say, well, you got to nip it in the bud. No, you got to get to the root. If it's already budding, you're in trouble. But you've got to get to the root. And moms, today, you have gotten to the roots of our carnality and our life in the flesh. And you have taught us and molded us. And you have guided us and steered us to carry the cross of Christ, to be a pillar in an apostle, apostolic anointing in an apostle's life. I don't believe that Rufus or that Simon of Cyrene would have ever done what they've done unless they had that kind of source of strength in their home. You're world changers. You alter lives. And if it wasn't for mothers in the church, where would this next generation be? Somebody that believes in prayer, somebody that will hold on to the altar, horns of the altar, and declare that we're not going to let this generation go. Thank God for the mothers in the house of God. But there are moms today who abuse their children. There are moms today who abandon their families. There are moms today who are the exception to the rule. But I'm not speaking of them today. I'm speaking of the moms that have done the right thing over the years. There's something about a mom. You know, I can often remember Tina as the children were sick and they would get upset stomachs or whatever. And I always used having to go to work as my major excuse. I got to go to work in the morning. You go to them. They're crying in the middle of the night. And Tina would grab hold of those children, take them into the bathroom. They would be crying out, I think I'm going to throw up, Mom. And they're hanging over the toilet. She's grabbing her forehead, pulling their hair out of the way so it doesn't get on their hair. And the children are upchucking right there in the toilet. And I said, now that's a picture of a mom. Because as far as I'm concerned, you can throw up in the bed, I'll change them in the morning, roll over and sleep on the other side. The sick rooms are not our special place, are they, guys? No, I don't think so. There's a certain anointing that's missing today on many mothers. And I want to share with you in the next few moments this missing anointing that we don't read too often about. Matter of fact, I was with pastors on Tuesday night, probably about 15 of them. And I began to ask them about this story. I said, you remember the story of Rispa? Of course, they looked at me a little bit shy and kind of embarrassed. And they go, no, I don't remember the story. I said, you don't remember the story of Rispa? And so I began to tell it and disclose it. And finally, the lights came on. Oh, yeah, I remember. That's how obscure it is. It's only a few verses in the Bible. But this story speaks so well of the calling of God upon your life. Let's go back to the Old Testament together into 2 Samuel chapter 21. I want to read it with you. I want you to see it. Familiarize yourself with it because, moms, I see this anointing coming upon this generation. We begin reading in verse 8. 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 8. So the king took Armanai and Mephibosheth, the two sons of Rizpah, the daughters of Ai, whom she bore to Saul, and the five sons of Michael, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up from Adriel, the son of Bezaleel, and Melolithite. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them on the hill before the Lord. So they fell, all seven together, and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the beginning of the barley harvest. Verse 10, now Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock. And from the beginning of harvest until the late rains poured on them from heaven. And she did not allow the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the birds or the beasts of the field by night. And David was told what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. And David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son and the men of Jabesh Gilead and had stolen them from the streets of Bethshan where the Philistines had hung them up. And after the Philistines had struck down Saul at Gilboa. And so he brought up the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from there, and they gathered the bones of those who had been hanged. And they buried the bones of Saul and in Jonathan his son in the country of Benjamin and Zelah in the tomb of Kish his father. So they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God heeded the prayer for the land. A lot of truth in this particular story, but I want to remind us of the strength of a Rizpah anointing. Notice what happened to her two sons. They were hanged and they were killed. And they were displayed as a sign and a symbol of the Gibeonites of justice. Now, I don't know if you can imagine yourself as a mother seeing your sons die, perhaps even before your eyes, watching their life taken from them when you literally gave them that life. They breathed their last, perhaps decapitated, perhaps mutilated. But yet, nonetheless, as a symbol and sign to the generations of justice, hung up and displayed before all to see. But this woman of God had a commitment to her children. She had a commitment that was so unusual, the Bible says that she took sackcloth, which represents deep mourning and contrition, and laid it out upon a rock. And for a long period of time, we're talking now months, from the harvest until the rains began to come again, she camped out upon that hill, there beneath the corpses of her two sons. And the Bible tells us that the wild beasts that would come up that hillside, that would follow the paths in the middle of the night, those nocturnal beasts who would come and thinking they're going to have a meal of her two sons who were there hanging on display. They didn't realize that when they got to the top of the mountain, that not only was there the two corpses hanging, but there was a woman called Rizpah who had camped out and declared that there will be no wild beast that will tear asunder my son or my daughter. And can I share with you this morning what we need in this generation is a Rizpah anointing upon mothers who will stand in the gap and will stand before wild beasts of this generation and will declare to them that you have come nigh them, but you will not touch them. You will not destroy them and you will not devour them. Not only were there the wild beasts, but there were the vultures of the air. There were birds of prey that would come and try to pick clean their bones. And as they would fly in from above, and as the beast would crawl up from beneath, she stood there between heaven and hell and declared that my sons will not be devoured by them. And as these birds of prey, many of them 12 feet in their wingspan, vultures that could rip flesh off of a human bone with no problem at all, came swooping down with great velocity towards her son. And she stood, even though he had already expired, between him and that which was going to devour him, and said, not on my watch, not because I'm here, but because God is here. And I stand in the place of God, and you will not devour my son. What we need today is women who will say, I need a Rizpah anointing. I can't let MTV vultures and I can't let Hollywood beasts and I can't let drug dealers that live down the street crawl up in the middle of the night and somehow get a hold of my son and get a hold of my daughter. I need a Rizpah anointing that I can declare to my generation that not on my watch will you take my son, not on my watch will you take my daughter, and whatever it takes. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know there was great sacrifice there. It interrupted her life. She moved from comfort to a place of conflict. And I know some of you have gone through some terrible times as your children are teenagers. And they walk into rebellion, and there's these beasts that are coming to try to devour them. There's these vultures of the air that are influencing their thinking and their minds. And you're thinking, my God, I'll never make it through this. As they come swooping in and getting ever so close to taking them out. As the beasts come in through the middle of the night in the cover of dark, and they try to steal away your child. And there's countless nights of sorrow, and there's countless nights of pain and tears that begin to flow. And you think, God, what's happening? What have I done? What kind of a mother am I? I want you to remember this woman, Rizpah, who had nothing to do with the fact that her son, Mephibosheth, and her brother had been hung up as a result of justice to the Gibeonites. But yet she made a commitment. She said, I birthed him, and I gave him life. And I will not allow with my life. I will not allow a devourer to come and take his life. If they're going to take somebody out, they're going to take me. Because I will not stand by and watch my son or my daughter be devoured by this generation and this age. It's a Rizpah anointing. I believe women in this room today need to begin praying and asking God for this kind of tenacity, for this kind of fearlessness that you can stand in the middle of that which is trying to be devoured in your life. Think not that there is not a generation here that is on the hit list of a demonic force and power. Think not that there is not a strategy in hell that is attempting even now as your child is innocently sitting in your arms this morning or in children's church singing praises unto God. A strategy has been developed that they will do their best to sneak up in the middle of the night or from the cover of clouds and storms to swoop down and to try to take your child out. Be not in the realm and the area of comfort, but remember that you must live in a realm and an area of conflict, that you must be willing to forsake all and must be willing to take out the sackcloth and lay it on the rock and realize this is going to be a hard place. But as for me in my house, as Joshua declared, we're going to serve the Lord, and I'm not going to let this generation fall. I'm not going to let my son or my daughter be devoured. Ladies and gentlemen, today we honor those kinds of mothers. We honor those kinds of mothers. The Bible says that David was so impressed. David was so moved by that kind of an anointing that he said, go get them, take them down, and bury them in honor. You see, a mother who stands in the gap like that is committed to the end, is committed to the purpose for which he brought that child into this world. You see, when you birthed that child, you came with purpose. That child came with destiny. That child came with an assignment from on high. And the devil will do all that he can to take that assignment, destroy that purpose, and confuse that destiny. But a mother who will spread out sackcloth upon a rock will be refused of the devil, will not be denied. Denied to be denied and refused to be refused. Not until my child finds his place in his destiny. And those young men, through great trial and tribulation and warfare, were laid to rest in a place of honor. They had found their place. I wish I could tell you that motherhood today will be easy. I wish I could tell you that your children will grow up to love Jesus with all their heart. They'll be speaking in tongues when they wake up in the morning for the rest of their life. I wish I could tell you that they'll honor you and God and their father. I wish I could tell you they'll never argue with their siblings. I wish I could tell you they'll never take drugs. I wish I could tell you that your precious innocent daughter will never have sex before marriage. I wish I could tell you all these things, but it's not so. Because in this hour there are beasts that are willing to devour. And there are vultures that are willing to swoop down and to do all that they can. And unless a mother has made a commitment to conflict and not comfort, then your son and your daughter shall be devoured by this age. But thank God he's raising up mothers. Thank God he's raising up women who believe in the word of the Lord and in the power of God's gospel. It's a Rizpah anointing. Kipling, the great poet, said this, "If I were hanged on a highest hill, I know whose love would follow me still. Mother of mine, mother of mine. If I were drowned in the deepest sea, I know whose tears would come down to me. Mother of mine, mother of mine. If I were damned by body and by soul, I know whose prayers would make me whole. Mother of mine, mother of mine." Today we want to commission you women, whether your children are grown and adults or whether they're still living under your tender care at an early age. It matters not. I want to commission mothers today for this rispa anointing. I want you to know that if the devil tries to condemn them in their soul and in their body, they cannot be out of reach and out of touch with a woman with a rispa anointing. I want you to be encouraged. Your son may not be serving God this morning. Your husband may not be serving God this morning. They may be living for themselves. They may have been seduced by this world. They may have come a part of the MTV generation and the promiscuous society of have fun and have sex and have plenty of it. That's all right. Listen to me, Mom. Get up. It's time to go to the mountain. It's time to get out your sackcloth. It's time for you to be resolved about the conflict over the soul and the life of your children. Don't let it go without a stand. Don't let it go without believing God and standing on the promises and declaring, "Not on my watch will my children go into obscurity in this generation." John chapter 2. In verse 1, tells us of a woman named Mary. I like this because it says on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. That's sort of an obscure scripture, you know, and if we're not careful, we'll just glance over top of that. But here's what it says: the mother of Jesus was there. Moms, you have such power of influence, you don't have to be there to be there. You know what I'm talking about? The mother of Jesus was there. And we know the story. She influenced the Son of God. And had Joseph lived, and many believe that Joseph died at Jesus' early age as he was growing up, but a mother was there helping to mold him, helping to influence him, helping to perform what the Father in heaven had purposed from the foundations of the world. What the scripture declares, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the evil one." Somehow that mother called Mary knew that her son had to be molded and conformed, not to this generation, but he had to be molded and conformed by the transforming of his mind to the renewal of the will of God and the perfect will of God for his hour and generation. And so Mother Mary was there. Her love surrounded him. I can imagine the moments that Jesus preached and cast out devils, multiple devils. They spoke to him there that day at the Gadarenes. And he said, "Please, we implore you, send us into these pigs." And so Jesus said, "Be gone." And the pigs were demonized instantly and fell off the cliff into the water. And the townspeople were so frustrated and so upset because their economy had been impacted. Isn't it the hour in which we live that we're more irate about the dollars in our pocketbook than we are about the virtues in the children's hearts of which we're raising? And we've sold out this generation. We've sold them out. We've let our birthright go. What? For a pot of stew to fill our bellies. Our bellies have become our God. But there, Jesus walking in the midst of them in great anger and fervor, and they were about to destroy him. The scripture says he walked right through the midst of them. But I don't believe he walked alone. Now we know that the Holy Ghost was with him without measure. We know that he understood that he only did what the Father had spoken, but I believe there was another influence there. I believe in the midst of that hostility, his mother was there. I believe Mary's love surrounded him in the middle of the greatest conflict of his early ministry. Not only did her love surround him, her values influenced him. Her trust supported him. Her faith inspired him. Her faith inspired him. Moms, inspire your children with your faith. Luke chapter 1 tells us, be it done to me according to your word. She didn't understand how she was going to be pregnant. She didn't understand how she was going to birth the Son of God. She had known no man. The Holy Spirit was now speaking to her. Blessed art you among women. All she could say is, be it done unto me according to your word. Her faith influenced Jesus. So much so, ladies and gentlemen, on the cross, do you remember? On the cross, the last words of Christ. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. I'm about to die for the sins of the world. I have now experienced the suffering, the sin, and the shame of a generation who has turned their back upon my Father. My back is laid open with a cat of nine tails like ribbons hanging around a belt around my waist. I have thorns pressed into my brow. Vultures circle around my cross. My disciples have fled. I am falsely accused. I've been spat upon. My beard has been pulled out. But wait a minute! Behold thy mother, and mother, behold thy son. He understood the power of the influence of a mother in his life. You see, mothers, you have great influence. Scholars have attributed the success to the Methodist movement around the world to not only John Wesley. If you know anything at all about the Methodist, John Wesley, a powerful man of God. But if you were to do a study, you would find that behind that young man, John, was a woman named Susanna. And it was Susanna who guided him and brought him into a place of great influence. David Youngie Cho from Seoul, Korea. You may have heard of his great church of 1 million people, literally transforming that entire region in the world. What a great man of God, but what a great woman behind that man who influenced him to pray. And the stories go on and on and on. Because you see, when you look at greatness, you must go back to its source. Abraham Lincoln, one of America's greatest presidents, attributed his success to his mom. You can't understand who a person is. You can't understand what motivates them until you understand their past. You can't understand their past until you understand their source. I believe mothers are co-creators with God. Wow. Ladies, can you imagine? God has so created you that you have a womb, that you're ready at any moment. At any moment, you are ready to give life. All you need is a seed. I mean, you're ready today. You're ready next week. There's a season in your life where you stay ready. All you need is a seed. And a woman is a co-creator with God. God brings forth life, but he couldn't do it without a woman. Think about it. But not only do you bring the natural life, you bring the spiritual life. You train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart. You begin to impart to these young children the spiritual, five spiritual senses that we preached on Thursday night. Not only be able to see with your natural eyes, but give them understanding that their spirit has eyes. Their spirit has ears. That their enlightenment, that their understanding might be enlightened. That they might touch the Lord, that they may taste and see that he is good. It is a wise mother who will embrace that child from early on and begin to teach them. To teach them to hear the voice of God. You're a co-creator with God. What a mission. What a privilege. What an honor, ladies, to be a mom. Mother will often birth much more than a child. You'll birth a destiny. You'll shape the future. Today we need a rispa anointing. For I declare that what's happened in this hour, that the millennials that are facing the statistics and the numbers that we're calculating of only 4% of them to be believers in Christ, 4%. 71 million millennials, those that have been born after 1984, only 4% of those 71 million are predicted to serve God in their day. What do we need? We need less shopping malls. Now, you just help me, because it's all right to shop. But we need less shoe stores. It's all right to wear and buy shoes and like them. Just understand what I'm talking about. We need less spa days, less massage days, less vacation days, less all about me days. And we need to get on our sackcloth, and we need to climb up on the mountain and realize that our children are strung out for vultures and beasts, and that if you don't stand in the gap, nobody will. This is the hour where we need to rise up and cry, "Not on my watch will my children be devoured by the generation of beasts and demon powers of this age." That's what we need. That's what we need. Get a Rispa anointing today over your life. And I want to pray for every woman in this room, not just mothers. Every woman. The power of influence that lays on your life is a gift of God. It is a powerful gift. If it could be misused, you can influence for the negative. But if it's properly used, you can create a destiny. Every woman, would you like to please stand with me? Men, remain seated just for a moment. And I'm going to pray this anointed prayer of the Rispa anointing upon this hour and upon this generation. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare right now and I decree by the words of my mouth and by the word of the living God out of 2 Samuel that we believe, Father, that that woman Rispa, even though she was one that had been despised, she was a member of a concubine, but she had given birth. And because she gave birth, she realized that it was a lifelong commitment. I'm praying now for moms that today, women in this room, Lord Jesus, would receive that same kind of anointing and fervor that came upon this woman, that in the midst of great adversity and shame and hardship, that she made a decision that she would not allow those beasts of the field or the fowls of the air to take her sons out, her daughters out. I pray now, Lord God, that this anointing would fall upon this house. Now, Lord, let it fall. Let it go down deep. Let it go down far. I pray for grandmothers standing here today, great grandmothers, that anointing doesn't lift when you become a grandmother, but it only intensifies, that you might be able to stand alongside your daughter upon that mountain and declare, one will put 1,000 to flight, but two will put 10,000 to flight. Father, I pray for this church, that we as a people would realize it takes a tribe, it takes a village to raise a child. That we would stand together arm in arm, hand in hand, woman to woman, the elder women teaching the younger, and the younger encouraging the babies. Father, today bring us up as a community of faith, that we could believe you for great victory in this hour. I pray now, God, over the 71 million millennial children that are on this country's soil. I believe, Lord God, that the statistics will not prove true, because today in this house we have received an anointing, and the anointing is what lifts the burden, and the anointing is what breaks the yoke. And so, God, we thank you today that we expect fully to see a change take place in Jesus' name. Now, men, please stand with us. Please stand with us with your head bowed. Let me ask this question. You say, "Pastor, I've been negligent. Pastor, I've looked for comfort and not conflict. I figure they're 18 now. They're on their own. Oh, I made a mistake. I've erred." Guys, I'm speaking to you too by the Spirit. Fathers, listen to me. You must as well receive an anointing this hour, because this Spirit comes through the priest. And why many women as Rispa had to stand is because of Saul's own fleshly pursuit. My God, you better help me today. She didn't have to stand alone. She didn't have to be all by herself. You're here today, and if you were to die today, this will be your last day on the earth. Would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? No one looking around, you say, Pastor, you know what? I need to get right with God. I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to pray for me this morning. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to start over. I want to go to heaven. I want to be a God man. I want to be a God woman. If that's you this morning, nobody looking around. I'm going to count to three, and on that number three, I want you, if you want this prayer, to lift your hand up high enough for me to see it. Hold it there for about 5 seconds, and then you can put it down. Are you ready? One, two, three. That's you. Lift it up. Come on. High enough so I can see it. God bless you, 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 and you. God bless you, 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 and you. Amen. And you over there, God bless you. Amen. Amen. Come on, one more time, I'm going to ask. Be a man. Be a woman. Do you need God in your life? If you've already raised your hand, don't do it a second time. But if you haven't done it, you know that you need to. Sir, mom, ma'am, listen. This is your moment. This is God's grace. So I want to surrender to Christ. I want to give my life to God today before I walk out those doors. That's you. You didn't raise your hand. Do it now. Come on, lift it up. Do it now. Do it now. Right now. Do it now. Thank you. Thank you over there as well. Come on. Anybody else? This is my last opportunity that I can give today. Come on, don't miss out. This is your moment. This is your time. Holy Ghost is speaking to you. Then you need to respond. Come on, you need to climb the mountain. You need to make a commitment way over there. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I didn't see it at first. Altar ministers, would you join me across this great hall? Join me across this great altar. Let's believe God together. Those of you that raise your hand, here's what I need you to do quickly. As quickly as you possibly can, I want you to get out from where you're standing and join us here for prayer. That's all I'm asking you to do. Prayer. Prayer is an easy thing. Come on, all the way to the back, all the way over here on the side. Right over there. Come on. Come on, church. Encourage them right now. Encourage them right now. In Jesus' name. What I'd like for you to do, I want you to turn to somebody around you. Maybe you need to even cross the aisle and say, sir, ma'am, if you raise your hand, I'll go with you. I know it's not easy, but you're not alone. And I'd like to go pray with you. Come on, turn to somebody right now. Ask them, did you raise your hand? Do you need to go? I'll go with you. Look, they're bringing them already. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, take them by the hand. This is their moment. This is their opportunity. Come on, blessed be the name of God. Blessed be the name of our God. Hallelujah. Coming all the way from the side over there. God bless you. All the way to the side over there. God bless you. Come on, church. Give them a great big God bless you. Woo! Just reach a hand out to these. Would you do that, please? Would you pray a prayer of faith over them? Would you stand on the mountain on their behalf? Would you pray against the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air over their life? Because you know the enemy right now is trying to steal away the very word that's been preached. Come on, would you pray for them? Would you take 30 seconds and just pray? Come on, let's just pray. Let's just believe God with them right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we do, God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we do. We pray today, Lord. We bless them today, Lord. We stand in the gap with them today, Lord. We thank you that they're coming to Christ. They're coming to Christ. They're coming to Christ. They're leaving the world. They're leaving their past. And they're coming to Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Oh, it's an awesome day. It's an awesome day. I want to say as well, ladies and gentlemen, I know that some of you, you've already buried your mothers. Mom's in heaven. Mom's not with you right now. But just like that scripture in John chapter 2 and verse 1, Mary was there also. You know, Mom was going to be with you. Enjoy the memories today. And even though the tears come down the face and how you wish she could be here, you still have her virtue. You still have her memories. And those of us that have our moms, like Minister Jason said, I like that. Let's really enjoy them and celebrate them today for giving us life. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. God bless you. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. We'll see you on Thursday night. Why don't you join us Thursday night? Love to have you back at 7 o'clock.